And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, we're going to go back to the phones right now. We just had a great visit a moment ago from Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, who gave us some great perspective on what he saw in the Trump rally this past weekend. But somebody else who I believe knows President Trump personally, so I'm proud to call a friend, is Congressman Barry Moore, who hails from the Wiregrass region down in South Alabama. He has been representing what was known as Congressional District 2, the redrawing of the lines, and his winning of the primary means he'll be the next congressman from Congressional District 1 coming up pretty soon. But he is at the convention right now and stepped off the floor to talk to us. Congressman Barry Moore, how you doing?
Phil, I am good. How you doing, my friend?
I am good. I'm good, man. I tell you what, it's a live wire day. First of all, I saw the Alabama group do its roll call a little while ago on TV. Senator Tuberville was the one calling out, but how are things at the convention right now? What's the mood?
You know, it's excited. I think there's obviously a little bit of, after this weekend, I think there's a certain resolve you feel in the air about we got to win this thing and it's important that we elect Donald Trump. And so there's a bit, it's excitement, but it's almost like a sense of just commitment to the cause to save the nation. And the left will stop at nothing to stop this man, but we're here to support him. And I think that it's an exciting time to be a Republican in this country and certainly a patriot in this nation.
I would agree with that. Absolutely. And listen, you're known as one of the more conservative members of the of Congress and certainly of the Alabama delegation. What are your thoughts right now on the choice for J.D. Vance as vice president?
Well, I'm excited because J.D.'s an outsider. I mean, he's not been in D.C. a long time. The system hasn't gotten its hooks in him. And, you know, he volunteered, served in the Marine Corps, and then he ran, got in the Senate. And the thing that I like about him is he's fought in foreign wars, and he understands that sometimes that's not the best investment of American defense dollars. And so he brings a conservative approach and yet at the same time a very strong ally to Israel. So I think J.D.'s an excellent choice. And we need somebody who's young, who's full of energy, who can come in and do 8 more years after President Trump serves this next term.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, this choice today is not about just this ticket. It's about the next ticket in the next 12 years, technically, if you get down to it.
Yeah, and I think the conventional wisdom, it really didn't matter who Trump picked. He was going to win if things continue down the path we're seeing in the polls. But I think he did a fine job by choosing a man from Ohio who is strong to his convictions but is young enough and is politically savvy enough, although he's not been in this system a long time, to actually serve 8 more years. And then to right this ship, we're not going to do it in one term with Donald Trump. It's going to take some time to fix the problems in this country. I think Vance is an excellent choice. He certainly was one of my favorites on the short list.
Well, man, listen, talk to me about this past Saturday, but I'd like to get the bigger perspective. I mean, you've been a supporter of Donald Trump for quite a while, and you've been up there in D.C., and the level of rhetoric and the level of attack, I mean, not just attack, but like physically trying to take him down personally, take him down financially, take him down politically, it's been unbelievable. And what are your thoughts on what that did to incite the shooting this past Saturday?
Well, Phil, we know he was an outsider. He came to the system, and this was in 2016. And I was early on a Trump delegate. I keep telling him the only 2 times I've been a delegate at the convention for Trump, he's going to win. I keep thinking that's going to be the case. Maybe I'm a good luck charm. But what we saw is a weaponization. When I was in the district shortly after I was elected and sworn in 21, the number one concern was just the weaponization of government. And I think the weaponization and the ridiculous rhetoric that we've seen from the left, it culminated in this event Saturday evening in Pennsylvania. And what happens is and it never fails. I'm on Judiciary Committee, and consistently when we go back and forth on the dais to question our witnesses, the members, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Eric Swalwell, always open with the radical MAGA extremists. That's how they accuse us. You know, the radical MAGA extremists on the other side of the dais, you know, blah, 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 and whatever their spiel is for 5 minutes. And it's that kind of rhetoric. They've called Trump every name in the book. They've accused him of being Hitler. We've seen President Biden tweet after tweet, say he's a threat, he's a threat, he's a threat. And that's what happens. These people in this country, they see him as evil, and many of them on the left do, and they will stop at nothing to stop him. And so it's just a terrible event that went down. But I think the Lord's hand, I think that was providential, what we saw, that President Trump survived that close a shot. You know, I was in the military myself, and I was an expert marksman. That was not a tough shot to make. And, you know, like I know, the muzzle of that barrel just moved just a little bit. And if Trump hadn't turned his head, we would be having a different week in the media and in the nation. And I think our country would have been in big, big trouble.
No, I totally agree. And listen, I don't know if you're aware of it. You probably know the story about Teddy Roosevelt being shot back in 1912. And the crazy thing was he was shot and he was injured. And he went on and gave his speech anyway, and he gave it in Milwaukee. And what we're seeing right now is Trump was shot, and he's going to give his speech anyway in Milwaukee. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. Coach Tuberville said this morning, they were talking on the phone, and Trump's like, sir, do you think I should wear the bandage on my ear? And Coach is like, you're darn right you should wear it. Maybe take it off Thursday night, but wear it. Remind the people of what you just went through, because I think in some ways, if Trump's team would have probably let him come back to the States, he'd have probably finished the event in Milwaukee. I'm glad, I mean, not in Milwaukee, but in Butler County. But I'm glad he got off the stage and he was okay. But truly the fact that he had the wherewithal to stand up and to tell the American people to fight, that this is not about me, this is about this country. And Bill, you and I know, and anybody in the world of politics or even just sitting here as a casual observer, that man could have rode off in the sunset. He's got billions of dollars. And let this place burn behind him. He spent $76 million in legal fees. They're trying to imprison him for life. They raided his home 91 days before election, and they just tried to kill him last week, and so, or this weekend. And so there is no doubt that he's in it for the right reasons. He stands nothing to gain but to save this nation. And I say it all the time, Donald Trump don't need to be president of the United States. We need him in that position right now.
I agree. Let me ask you one more thing too before you go, Congressman. You're going back to D.C. sometime soon after this convention's over with, and Speaker Johnson has already made note that there will be investigations and hearings on what happened this past weekend. What are your thoughts on that, and what do you expect to happen?
Yeah, so we need to be moving really rapidly. I had dinner with Jim Jordan here. He's a friend of mine, chair of judiciary, and we had dinner last night. We've got Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, coming in this coming week to testify. We've had Merrick Garland on weaponization. We've had Christopher Wray on some other things. But I think that Jim and I both agree that the tone changed dramatically on the questions we'll need to ask Christopher Wray coming into next week. And so there needs to be accountability. There needs to be hearing. And we, as a Republican Congress, as a conservative group, have to get to the bottom of why this government is trying to stop the man that they want to be president of the United States. That is a concern, whether they want to put him in prison or take him out. Whatever the case may be, whatever Biden and all his crowd are saying, he's a threat. The only thing he's a threat to is their power, and it shows that they'll stop at nothing to stop him.
Well, I would agree with that. Do you foresee any resignations coming, or anybody going to step down, or how about the director of Secret Service for that matter?
Yeah, I think we have to get the director of the Secret Service, and I think oversight will probably have that committee of jurisdiction. But even Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, who actually is DHS secretary, who to me, Phil, of all the people we've questioned in D.C. and judiciary, to me, he is probably the most just straight up look you in your face and lie and tell you there's no border crisis. At the same time, he's in charge of the Secret Service, who was supposed to be protecting President Trump. Those kind of leaders in those kind of positions endanger the democracy, the republic that we love. And I think there has to be some accountability. And we're going to have our hearings, but heads are going to have to roll on this thing. People are going to need to be fired, and people are going to need to be cut loose from the employment of the federal taxpayers.
All right. Well, listen, Congressman Barry Moore, I know that you're at an event right now, and you stepped out just to talk to us, so I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Godspeed, safe travels. I hope the rest of the convention goes great, and we'll have you on again sometime soon.
Hey, Phil, stay tuned. We're here and there. We have a very special guest coming in today, so you just don't know. I hear in the next hour or so.
Okay. You want to give us any clue on who that is?
I don't know any more than you do, but I've been told a special guest, so we'll see.
All right, sounds good. We'll watch for it. All right. Take care. All right, take care, Barry.
Thank you.
All right, that was Congressman Barry Moore from the Wiregrass region of Alabama, currently holding the seat as Congressional District 2's congressman. Because of the redistricting lines, he just won the primary to be the Congressional District 1 congressman. He's just, listen, the guy is solid as he can be, a member of the Freedom Caucus, and I'm glad to have him on the show. All right, we're taking a break right now. I know we're Big Rig, I think we're about, what, a minute earlier than usual, but we'll take that break. We'll come right back. I got some text messages, and then coming up top of the hour, State Rep. Mac Butler coming on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.